Welcome to the Smiling Homeschooler Podcast. My name is Ben Wilson, and on this episode, our topic is equipping your child to find their own way as they grow older. This is something that every parent will have to deal with, and it's an amazing opportunity to impact your child's life. We think this episode will encourage you. Before we begin, we just want to thank Teaching Textbooks for helping make the Smiling Homeschooler possible. We work with them because we believe their curriculum is one of the best out there and helps more homeschoolers smile. Go support them and check out a free trial over at teachingtextbooks.com. Also, thank you to Homeschooling Today magazines for supporting what we do. They're another fantastic source of encouragement, so please go subscribe to their magazine over at homeschoolingtoday.com. But all right, let's get going. Here's my dad, Todd Wilson.
Well, Ben, everybody's like thinking who's listening right now. Ben, did you have your baby? And the answer is
no. I would not be here probably. Marissa is taking a bath at the moment, but pretty beyond miserable at this point. Was miserable last week and even more so now. So
it's so disappointing.
It's so terrible.
And not disappointing. It's just it's such a mindset where you're thinking,
right,
it's going to be this week for sure.
Well,
and then by the end of the week, you go, well, at least by Wednesday, it'll be.
Exactly.
And she still hadn't hit her due date. But
no, Wednesday technically is. But yeah, last time with Andrew, she was so early that it kind of just threw her for a loop on what to expect. And, you know, your mindset is kind of thinking it will be like the one previous one. So we were thinking at least, you know, something early, but it hasn't happened yet. So we're just praying and hoping and surviving each and every moment. So and yesterday was fun. Rinley was having some issues with using the bathroom, or thought she was, so she was just apocalyptic and just pretty crazy. So that took like a day and a half straight of dealing with her, and that was pretty miserable. So just the joys of parenting, you know. So
doesn't get any easier. It just continues all the way until you're dead.
Yeah.
Plus exactly. It's freezing cold here. It was like what day was it? Saturday. It was Sam was working outside. I know he had short sleeves on. It was like, it was super windy, but it was still 65 degrees. And then it snowed yesterday and it snowed today. And it's like, this is not fun.
I mean, where I was, we had like, I mean, my coworker took him like 45 minutes extra to get to work because it was so snowy. We probably got like an inch of snow or two. I mean, it was crazy. But thankfully it didn't last super long. So. It's in the final. But one of the things I think, this era or part of the year means we're getting closer to the end of the school year. It's within sight, you know, for a lot of people. But Dad, you often do, you know, graduations. Those are coming up for people who are in that, you know, part of age range. Not all of our listeners are, but this is important even if you don't have, if you have young kids, because eventually you're going to be there and it will come faster than you think. So we were kind of thinking about, you know, the whole topic of kids growing up, and how do you equip them / cheer them on, encourage them to find their own way, pursue their own interests / you know, where they're going after school, because school, despite what it feels like, is not the end. It is just a means. But you've obviously now had, what is it? 6 kids graduate. So I think you can speak well to that. So that's kind of the topic. Where did initially, you know, where are you thinking?
Well, I usually hate this time of the year because this is usually when sometime, not this month, but next month in April, you'll start seeing things in the church bulletins all across the country about graduation Sunday. So usually there's a announcement in your bulletin, doesn't matter what denomination you go to. And it says, please submit a picture and the future plans for your children, you know, and I know there's kind of either a collective groan, from a lot of the parents, like, I can remember one mom, and I know I've said it before because it's one of those comments that will stick with me forever. A mom said, I just hate graduation Sunday because I knew my daughter was, everybody else was going to say how they were going to medical school. And my daughter would just stand up and say, I like horses and my favorite color is pink. Yeah, and you know, and there's so much pressure. And I can remember being in a graduation Sunday where the pastor, or youth pastor, I'm not sure which, I was just speaking there that weekend, and he said, "Oh, we're gonna have our graduates come in, and they're gonna tell us, tell us your name, and then they said, tell us which college you're going to." And I thought, oh wow, they just set it up for either you say those words or you're a loser, you know, because if you can't tell them what college you're going to, you have to say something like, well, I'm undecided right now. And undecided is just the nice way of saying, I'm not doing what everybody else is doing. And I just feel this. I feel this deeply because I know there are a lot of parents who are listening right now who you don't mean to, and I know you don't, but you've put a lot of pressure on your kids, you know, because we put a lot of pressure on our kids to do this education game. I don't know why. I talk to parents all the time. They'll talk about what their plans are for their kids. And I'm like, so they're going for further education, you know, what are their plans? I don't know but they've got to do this, you know, because if they don't do this, and I know kids who are now adults whose lives have been wrecked because they could not meet the expectations that their parents had put, not just their parents, their grandparents had put on them, like saying, well, this is where we want you to go. I can remember talking to a mother who said, if my kids don't go to an Ivy League school, I will be a failure. And I'm like, wow. And this mom knew that meant nothing.
Was this Lori, what's her name, you know, who got put in jail for bribing her kid in Harvard?
No. That's
but
the
even
only way
they
you get
do
your,
it, which is
that's
just
the only
so
way
crazy
you get your
me,
kid
yeah.
into Harvard.
Yeah.
No, yeah, Lori, Wind Calls the Heart.
Yeah. Full House.
I can't remember what her name is. And Abigail is in Wind Calls. And I know there are a lot of Hardys out there right now because I think that's what they call themselves. They have like, Maggie was telling me, and this is a side note for you who watched all those Wind Calls the Heart. They're like on a season 11 of that show, which is amazing. Another little side note is my nephew married a girl whose grandmother is Jeanette Oak. So, you know, there you go. I don't know what that means, yeah. But there you go.
I think one clear important distinction is not that the higher education or whatever, it's expectations of what they need to be or what the career they should be or what this level of success. Because again, we are not against college. I think that's kind of where
yet.
It just goes.
I'm not against it yet.
It's not, that's not necessarily the problem. It's just, there is a lot of expectations of, oh, well, you come out as this and that makes you a better person. That is the part that if it's needed, if that's what, you know, makes sense, nothing wrong with that. But a lot of times it is status. It is, this is
but
what
even,
you know, you need
even
to
as
succeed.
You said it, Ben, you used a word that, I mean, you used the word and you didn't mean to, you were just describing it, but you said, we're not against higher education, you know, because sometimes even when we hear that word, you know, we're implying that if you don't do that, you went to lower education. And,
I mean,
you know,
I don't think
I
that's
just,
what I'm implying, but okay. I
no, I know that's not what you're implying, but that's what everybody else is implying. You know, that's why, you know, they'll say, oh, you know, the people who vote for this person in the presidential election, they're usually college educated, this. Implying, and they may not be thinking this or saying this, but they imply that anything that is not that is lesser. And I, you know, you said we're not saying, and I was jokingly saying, yeah, I'm not saying that yet, but I do feel there's something in me that sometimes feels not angry with that, because I don't feel angry against those things. I just want kids to succeed in their parents' eyes. And I meet too many who I know their parents have put a lot of pressure on them. And you know why they put a lot of pressure on them? Because they feel a lot of pressure on them, especially as homeschoolers. because if you think we don't get them ready for whatever and they don't do that traditional route, then somehow that reflects poorly on us. And that is just not true. And, you know, so I think, like you even began this conversation, Ben, is how do we encourage our kids? How do we cheer them on? And I think sometimes that's by backing off a little bit, you know, and just cheering them on. I told you, we live right next door to each other. And on Saturday night, Ben was out there in the cold and it was just starting to change, get colder. He was out swinging his kids on their, it's not a tire swing, it's like a newfangled tire swing with no tire. I don't know how I should describe it. It's like, you know,
yeah, a big round canvas thing or nylon, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, it looks like disc. A little jumping, a little disc that hangs from a tree and you swing it. And I was just saying how I just heard on the radio, and it was heartbreaking to me, that this, and whenever you repeat something twice, it means it's double that dramatic effect. It's like in Wonka. And if you haven't seen the movie Wonka, you're missing a good one. But you know, a double but it was just heartbreaking to hear this guy who is now a successful person. He was just talking about how he was raised in the school system and how he was in he was labeled as having special needs. They tested his IQ and it wasn't as high as it, you know, because he said, I kept thinking, oh, they're gonna test it and find out that I'm really brilliant, you know. And he didn't score well. And so, you know, and it was just, he said it was so traumatic to go to this school where everybody files in and all his classmates and his friends. He said he got held back in the third grade. He goes, I didn't even know you could be held back in the third grade. He said, they said I wasn't mature enough. I'm like, how mature do you have to be when you're in the third grade? And he writes out this thing. And then one of the commentators was later talking about being smart. He said, everybody wants to be smart. But he said, what I found in my research is that they don't want to be smart. They just want other people to think they're smart. You know, and I thought, that is so insightful. And really, there is no reason why every kid of ours shouldn't feel like we think they're smart. But I think if we follow some of the patterns that have been put before us, some of the kids are going to be okay because we're going to think they're smart because they did well in school. But some of our kids are not going to be feel smart because we don't think they're smart because they took a path that isn't the same, or maybe they didn't do as well in some of those things. So, going back to your original question, you know, how do we set them up? How do we set our children up for success?
Are you asking me a question?
I'm asking you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe. Well, I was going to transition into like kind of building off of that idea, but
no, go ahead.
So I guess because part of it, what we've talked about is, you know, a lot in the past is as a young kid, your kid doesn't know best what's best for them. You know, my kids would like to watch TV and eat candy all day long. That's literally, if they could pick, they would just do that all day long, you know. And
I still have some adult kids who might do that.
Yeah. Well,
and I might choose some of that.
Exactly. Diet Coke and movie all day long.
Yeah, that sounds good.
But anyways, so that's what they would do. So we obviously know that as parents that we cannot just let them dictate everything because they don't know what's best and they won't choose what's best. I mean, we don't choose what's best for us very often because of sin. But, you know, as your kid gets older, you do have to let them, you know, make some decisions and take some responsibility for things and all that. But where does that come in? Because, you know, I know people, I work with people, I'm close to people who, you know, they're like, well, I'm experienced. I'm the one who's successful. I will tell my kid what they need to do and they need to follow it because I'm going to set them up for success, you know. And I get that. Like, obviously, like there is some truth to they don't know. They're not, you know, they don't have any experience in anything. But at the same time, you know, what our whole topic here is equipping them to find their own way too. And, you know, if that doesn't seem the direction that they're wanting to go, or maybe it's that they don't believe is for them, or you don't believe is for them, what do you think the balance is of allowing them to control it all versus inputting slash supporting slash, you know, I still am your parent, you know, how do you handle that mixture, you know, with different kids especially?
Yeah. Well, you know, I wrote a book called Dream Big and Beware of the Dream Killers. But I think there was a truth in there that, I mean, I've said it lots, and maybe if you've ever heard me speak, you've heard me say it. But I say that God's big enough to kill the dumb dreams in your kids' lives. You know, we don't have to. And I think, and sometimes I feel like I repeat myself, because Ben, I just feel, I do another podcast with just men, we record on Wednesday, and I was telling this long story, and Scott, just, this is last week, he goes, that was really good the second time, Todd. And I'm like, what? He goes, you told that last week. I'm like, you're kidding me.
That's what you were talking earlier. We were talking about all the college and everything last week, too. So
were we? And it just feels like I feel like I tell these stories and we're talking. And you know, we have so many kids and I don't know who I mentioned these things.
It's not crazy. We've had them tested. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right. I'm probably one of the smartest guys there ever was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tested fantastic on the tests.
Yeah. You've not talked about it on here recently. I mean, other than, okay, you know, over the years we have, but you know, like, mom doesn't do, especially mom, she is not hands off when it comes to any of her kids, you know, so it's not like she's just like, all right, you're 18, good luck. You know, she helps with, you know, giving them suggestions. She, you know, tries to encourage them in areas. So there is some role in just, it's, you know, because I do know some people where it is like they turn 18 and they're like, good luck, you know.
But here's what I think. The role starts young, and then you begin to back off towards the end. So, I mean, like, I knew a guy who encouraged his kids in playing a musical instrument. That was almost the most important thing in their lives. It was his musical instrument. They had lessons, you know, not just lessons, but they invested almost the amount of a car in the instrument. Then they, you know, had him take lessons from a professional. And then the kid says he wants to be a professional this, and they freaked out and they said, you're kidding me, why would you, can't even make any money at that. And I'm thinking, you loaded the gun, handed him the gun, and then said don't do it. So I just think those,
so he didn't want to be a professional musician, you mean?
He wanted to be now I don't know if he ever did.
Okay.
His
okay.
parents talked him out of it. But you know, the thing is, you fan those dreams young, and then as they get older, don't be surprised if they continue to go that direction. So really, for the what I fan in my kids young,
squash them young. Okay.
No, you can't, Nemo. I wanted Ben to be a good dad. I wanted him to be a good husband. I wanted, and
sorry to let you down on that one.
He failed in both of those. So plan B is,
at least he got curly hair,
like a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, but I want those things to be important. And so, you know, I just think, you know, we fan those things that we want in our kids' lives. If you want your kids to be successful, you have to define what success is. But again, I just know kids who get to the end and they can't pursue what they'd like to do because their parents say, you can't make any money at that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just so sad to me. You know, I don't like that. I think it sets your children up for years and years and years of regret and, you know, disappointment. In other ways, you know, as they get older, if your kid says, well, I want to be a whatever he wants to be, a professional juggler, you know, and you go, wow, you know, nobody makes you are a clown in the circus, you know, what are you gonna do?
You've met a professional juggler.
That's true. Juggler. I do know juggler. A professional juggler who makes he goes on cruises, and I'm like, what a great life. Actually, he's not just a juggler, he's a professional balancer. He balances things like on his nose and his chin, and I just think that is so awesome, because apparently, as we talked maybe last week or the week before or maybe earlier today, you know, I think all homeschoolers should be prepared in their hearts to think for the possibility that their kids are going to think outside the box,
right,
once they get to the end of school. because they've been trained their whole time outside the box. So they're going to continue to do that. And I think our job is to cheer them on. And then if it doesn't work out, then we help them not to pick up pieces, but we help them keep going in another direction and then another direction. And I just think, you know, we've just made it so where our kids are stuck at the end. You know, it's real easy when everything's clear. Like I always use Sam, Ben's younger brother, because he just knew what he wanted to do from the very beginning. Ben didn't have that. Ben didn't say, oh, yeah, I want to be an IT guy when I, you know, or he didn't say that. And Sam just like, I want to draw. And so that was super easy. But even then, I could have said,
I mean, for a lot of people, that's a super, how would you ever use that? You know, I mean.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But, and that's, I think, something important distinction here that I want to bring up here real quick. But we should real quick, before we continue here, say thank you to Teaching Textbooks for helping make the Smiling Homeschooler possible. Math is... can be a subject for a lot of people that's tough. It can have some tears can be shed, but we think Teaching Textbooks helps more homeschoolers smile during math time. Our family's used them for over a decade now, and they just have an amazing curriculum. So definitely go check out a free trial over at teachingtextbooks.com.
We also want to thank Homeschooling Today magazine. You know, as they say themselves, they say, join the growing movement of parents who are setting aside comparisons, taking control of their children's education, choosing courage over fear, letting God lead, and homeschooling boldly. Homeschooling Today is a quarterly magazine created by real people with a passion for honesty and encouragement. You won't find articles telling you everything you're not doing. Instead, you'll find homeschooling parents who have walked where you are or are currently on the path and want to help you succeed. And that is what we're talking about. And really, to, you know, prepare your kids for whatever God has for them after they graduate and as they get towards the, not the end, because they're asking, this is the kind of encouragement you need. So go to homeschoolingtoday.com, subscribe to their magazine, or and check out their other resources. Again, they have a weekly podcast that's is filled with encouragement. So check them out at homeschoolingtoday.com.
But I think, and you know, talking about these things and letting them dream, obviously, if they have something they are wanting to pursue, I think you can tell the difference between them just saying, I just don't want to do anything, I just want to do X, but not putting any effort. And but, you know, if you see your child, or you know, probably in this case to be a teen or young adult, I mean, you can see the effort and drive behind that. You know, I mean, they may have to put some work in. It doesn't mean it's all just, you know, instantly happens out of nowhere. But I think that's a big distinction, is you're not just saying, yeah, just quit everything and just sit there and, you know, play games for a living. That's, if they can do it, make it work, then, you know, see that fruit, then great. But I think there does need to be some, you know, corresponding effort in that dreaming if they're going to do that long term.
Totally agree.
But and then also, I just think, I don't know if I've ever heard a single like famous person in what the world would call traditionally successful, even if that we're not, again, that's not the mark, but let's just say that. Mm-hmm. Or anyone, I've never talked to anyone almost that I've ever heard someone say, oh yeah, my parents were such great cheerleaders and man, I hated it. You know, it's like, if it wasn't self-focused, like if they weren't cheerleading out of what they wanted and truly just saying it's okay to fail, you know, if you know, what's the worst that can happen, you know, take the step, all that kind of stuff. I mean, that is only beneficial, I believe, in most cases. I don't know if I've ever heard of anything that someone was like, you know, negative about that. If anything, I've heard, obviously, you just hear so many stories of people who, you know, their parents were their least supportive person because they just mm-hmm. thought they were going to fail. And I get it. I'm going to probably have to fight some of that because I am like a realist. I'm like, you know, yeah, but the chances are very low that you're ever going to make that happen. And I'm going to have to fight that. But I also don't want to, you know, pass on a feeling of fearfulness or nervousness. Because again, what is the worst that can happen? I think it's bad, but it's not really that bad in the grand scheme of everything. And I think our kids need to hear that. And I hope I can pass that to my kids.
Well, I think that where we start to lose that perspective, again, we somehow feel like this is the clock is ticking.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have to know on the day they graduate from our school what they're going to do for the rest of their lives. And I just don't think that is the case. I mean, I have no problem if my 25-year-old wants to go to college to become a doctor and he doesn't know that until he's 25. That's okay. If he wants to spend 4 or 5 years after school, after high school, to try to, and until he knows what he wants to do, I think that's great. Talking about, you were talking about, you know, parents cheering them on. I heard recently Jane Goodall, do you know who she is? She's the gorilla lady, you know, who lived out in the jungle with all these,
I didn't know that was her name, but yes,
silverback gorillas. I just remember her, and she had that very, you know, English accent that sounds like she just had tea with the queen. And she was saying, you know, she said that no one really believed a woman should be a gorillaologist or whatever they are. And she goes, and everybody like told me I was silly for wanting to do this, except my mother, you know. And then I just, it was so sweet to hear her talk about her mom, you know, encouraging her to spend her life in the jungle with gorillas. And she did. But whether she did or not, or whether it was a dumb idea or not, she loved her mother for her loving her. And I think, you know, worst case scenario, if you cheer your kid on and it's in some stupid thing that everybody else will laugh at, your children will love you so much.
I mean,
that's not such a bad idea.
I mean, I would genuinely don't know if there's anything that would be more endearing or just impactful than that. I mean, literally everyone, anyone who's ever shared a story like that, it is one of their biggest moments of their whole life is when their parent, you know, supported them in something that, you know, maybe seemed crazy to others. I mean, that is a huge thing. And if you can do that for your kid, I mean, I know for me, it was, is a huge, hugely impactful thing throughout my whole life. So I'm very appreciative of that. And again, and really, it may not be easy for you. It's never easy.
It's
not. So.
And it doesn't, and it's not just at the end. It's not just when they leave your house. It's all the way through school. It's when they're in second grade and third grade and they still can't figure out this reading thing very well. It's looking them in and believing in your heart that God has an amazing plan for you. You're an amazing kid and God's going to do great things with you. I just know it. You know, and to tell a kid that, man, that is a great thing. And again, going back to my little thing that I heard on the radio about the kid who's in the special needs classes, you know, that's the beauty of homeschooling. Your kids will never be in any of those classes. They will never have that label that somebody else put upon them that, I mean, I don't know how many years later this guy was talking about it, but it was a long time. And you could still feel the torture in his words. And so you don't have to be afraid. You know, just like the Homeschooling Today magazine, you can homeschool boldly. You can, you're homeschooling outside the box. They may live outside the box. They probably will live outside the box. And that's okay. And you know, just closing this all up, the way you prepare them for whatever lies ahead is that you know God's big enough to get him exactly where he wants him to be, you know, and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry. God's bigger than their choices. God's bigger than their gaps and all that. You just keep plugging away, doing what you believe they need to know. You know your kids, and you just keep smiling. And I'll tell you, that always ends in happily ever after. And maybe they won't make as much money, but that doesn't even matter. Ben and I have had lots of conversations about that as well. So, hey, stay warm out there. Spring is coming. I would be interested to know, too, because I just got an email a couple days ago from a mom up in Saskatchewan who is driving 2,200 miles to see the solar eclipse.
Wow.
So hopefully it'll be sunny that day for them. But I'm interested in, if you're going to do
Indiana,
something,
chances are low. So
equally as crazy, I'd like to hear your solar eclipse plans. You can email me at familyman@familymanweb.com, or you can message us in Facebook and But I'm just curious. So until then, get your solar eclipse glasses. It's coming soon. And don't forget to smile.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more weekly encouragement, head on over to our website, thesmilinghomeschooler.com, and sign up for a free weekly email. It's short and encouraging. As always, thank you to Teaching Textbooks for making The Smiling Homeschooler possible. Have a great week, and don't forget to smile.